On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Good afternoon. You are tuned into On the Radar News Bulletin, Eagle FM's second news bulletin of the day, which airs from 1300 hours to 1430, Monday to Friday. Now, this midday update is your go-to source for breaking news from earlier in the day, paired with sharp analysis and thought-provoking commentary. Adding a dynamic twist, our program often features The Villager e-paper, economic and social articles that dive deeper into the stories shaping our world. Now, whether you are on your lunch break, picking up the kids from school, or navigating traffic, On the Radar is tailored to keep you informed and engaged. We believe in making news a two-way street, so listener participation is highly encouraged. So just tune in, be part of the conversation by dialing on 083-288-401. Share your thoughts, ask questions, or weigh in on the topics that matter most to you. So stay in the loop, stay curious, and stay connected with On the Radar. Leading the news bulletin this afternoon. In a significant move aimed at strengthening agricultural trade between Namibia and China, the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform of the Republic of Namibia and the General Administration of Customs of the People's Republic of China yesterday signed a protocol on inspection, quarantine and hygiene requirements for mutton and chivon to be exported from Namibia to China. The signing ceremony, presided over by Inge Zamani, Minister of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform, marks a major milestone in bilateral cooperation under the framework of the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation, also known as FOCAC. The event follows extensive negotiations and technical discussions between the two nations, catalyzed by the 9th Forum on China-Africa Cooperation Summit held in Beijing in September 2024. During the summit, Chinese President Xi Jinping launched 10 strategic partnership initiatives aimed at deepening China-Africa cooperation with a strong focus on mutual economic development. The initiatives include areas such as trade deficit reduction, industrial chain collaboration, connectivity, development cooperation, healthcare, agriculture and livelihood, and green development, among others. The signed protocol is a direct outcome of the Agriculture and Livelihood Initiative and sets the framework for the export of Namibian mutton and chivon, that is goat meat, to the Chinese market. It outlines the necessary inspection, quarantine and hygiene standards that must be met to ensure food safety and compliance with Chinese import regulations. Now, speaking at the event, Minister Zamani expressed optimism about the agreement's impact, stating, "I'm happy to announce that the protocol and agreement will be signed today, marking a productive end to these negotiations. My wish is for this protocol and the related agreement on quarantine and plant protection to have positive economic multiplier effects for both nations, leading to employment creation, economic development, and ultimately a win-win situation for all." This development is expected to open up significant export opportunities for Namibian livestock farmers and meat producers, providing access to one of the world's largest consumer markets and potentially boosting Namibia's agricultural economy. The signing also signifies growing trust and cooperation between the two countries and sets a precedent for future trade agreements under the FOCAC framework.
Fruits, high-value fruits, and plants as well.
尊敬的王委员夫人长，我们其实还有另外一份协议打算签署，但是呢，相关条款还未最终能够敲定，所以我们将会有待进一步研究。
And I really look forward that the signing of this agreement will have a positive impact on our trade relations and will go some way towards addressing the trade deficit between our two countries. And I would like to speak to our Namibian farmers, especially meat producers in mutton and goat, to make use of the opportunities that government is making available to them to follow the relevant protocols to make sure that our meat can enter that market. And I know that the demand may exceed our supply, but it gives us an opportunity to increase our production also.
此次我们即将签署这一协议，将会极大的促进我们双方的贸易关系。那么我们也将讨论两国之间存在的贸易逆差的问题。那么此次签署这一协议，将对我国的农民，肉制品生产者，尤其是羊肉方面，能够有机会进入到中国市场。我知道我们的供给不能够满足中国的全部需求，但是我们仍然
I'm very positive that signing of this agreement will create opportunities in for our people. It will also have a positive economic spin-off. And in all, I believe that it will create a win-win situation between our two countries.
但是我仍然相信签署这一协议，不仅对我国的就业和经济有帮助，那么我同时还认为，总而言之，这对于两个国家而言是一个双赢的结果。Honorable
Vice Minister, I have taken note of your invitation to visit your beautiful country. I can only say the second agreement, maybe once we are finalizing it, we can then make that we can make use of that opportunity to then sign it in Beijing, because we have come here to sign the first one, and maybe we can look at signing the second one in Beijing, and that may give me an opportunity to then visit your country. I'm very new.
诚挚邀请，那么现在我们手边还有一份待签署的协议，那么我想在所有条款落实之后，我想藉此机会能够在北京签署该份协议，也是同时能够给予我个人一次再次访问中国、访问您的机会。
I'm one day in this position. It's a big portfolio. I need to focus my first year on the home environment to make sure that we deliver on the mandate that we are expected to deliver on. So at the moment, we are very inward focused, and we want to make sure that we have everything in order before we start looking externally. But I have taken note of the invitation, and as we work harder on this cooperation agreement, maybe that will give us an opportunity towards the end of the year then to see where we can sign that one. Thank you very much.
诚如您身等诸多领域。It
is within the context of these partnership initiatives that our two countries have been hard at work negotiating various agreements and protocols to facilitate cooperation in the field of agriculture and livelihood improvement.
那么双方同样就在农业方面的合作 已经探讨了诸多的议定书或者协议等方面的签署，以推进双方进一步将来在农业方面的合作。
And to this end, the Ministry and the Department of General Administration of Customs of the Republic of China has been working on the protocol on inspection, quarantine, and hygiene requirements for mutton and chevron to be exported from Namibia to China.
据我了解，中国海关总署已经就纳米比亚的绵羊肉的检验检疫和卫生方面的问题已经进行了研究。
The end result of our hard work, our technical people's hard work, has culminated in today's session, where we are here to sign this very, very important agreement, which will give Namibian products access to the Chinese market. And we are very excited about this opportunity.
那么参与此项工作的我的同事今晚也在场，我们非常高兴能够今天在此签署这一份重要的协议。这一协议意味着纳米比亚的农产品将有机会进入中国，我们非常乐意看到。
Country many times, I have had the privilege to visit many times. I know the potential of your country, that a protocol like this will give our farmers and our producers, meat producers, to access your market. And so we are very excited that finally we have arrived at this junction.Because when we were in Beijing in September last year, this was one of the agreement and protocol that was supposed to be signed, but due to technicalities, we couldn't sign them. So I'm glad that you travel with a big delegation to Windhoek to make sure that we sign this agreement.
Now to interrogate this further, I have in studio with me Ishmael Wandara. Ishmael, good afternoon and welcome to On The Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon to you and to our wonderful listeners.
Now Ishmael, for you being a farmer, what do you think this signing between the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries and Land Reform with the People's Republic of China and the General Administration of Customs of the People's Republic of China signing a protocol on inspection, quarantine and hygiene requirements for mutant and chivon to be exported from Namibia to China? What does this speak to Namibian farmers?
Well, it's a dream come true to so many farmers who are looking forward to expanding the market, particularly within the exportation of meat, because it's a long due, and it's one of the under-exercised or under-maximized industries, the chivon and mutton exportation. So for us, it's really something that we've been looking for so long. And because of its nature and the blessing that we got of so much rain, and that this what they call clean free and small livestock are able to reproduce fast, and we have massive land for free grazing as opposed to the former supplies of China's, which are mainly in small groups or animals that are fed within confinements. The quality of our meat is tremendous, is outstanding. So for us, this is something that we have been looking for. As well with blessings come also many traps and challenges. And so similarly, I think it's also important for farmers not only to be excited about the foreign money that will be coming in, but also to look forward to strong negotiations. Because often such opportunities, because of the desperation to sell and to survive, given the difficult financial challenges that farmers are in, we often sell to the closest price that we're given. But however, in this market, we need to formulate what is called consortiums or cooperatives, so that when we speak with one voice. Farmers from the north, the south, the east, and the west, they have to come together, and those small cooperatives should form one strong cooperative that will sell, let's say, the clean fear. By so doing, we'll not only maintain our quality, we'll also maintain a price that can allow efficient development in agriculture.
Quite a strong point that you make right there, that we shouldn't be desperate to just say yes to the small perhaps offer that comes with it. Now, do you think that farmers, Namibian farmers, are up to the task, especially those who farm sheep farmers and goat farmers, do you think they are up to the task to deliver the quality meat that's needed? I mean, this is an inspection, quarantine and hygiene requirement protocol for mutant and chivon.
Yeah, no, fortunately the farmers, as I said, they've been waiting for this for so long. However, one of the challenges that we face in so many sectors within the agricultural setting of Namibia is that many sections are closed to a select few. That means there are people who have set structures and institutions that dominate the buying, so that the simple farmer has to go through at least three or four people before getting money, so that money shrinks. The cooperatives also just buy from other cooperatives or sell to other cooperatives. So that direct funding or the direct dollar that is supposed to benefit the farmer becomes so small. So that is why I'm also skeptical about that. We do meet the quality standards. That is why our meat is in high demand. I should almost say maybe 80% of Namibian meat, various forms of meat, are in high demand. Because pretty soon we'll also be exporting things like donkey. Because of the quality of our pastures, the quality of how we maintain our livestock, there is a little challenge within the red line here and there. But the quality is really uncompromised. The quality is there. But my major challenge is the benefit to the farmers. the middlemen will make money, the negotiators will make money, the government agents will make money, mm-hmm. but the farmer, that is mm-hmm. my fear. What will the farmer go out with at the end of the day? Are they part of the negotiation table, or are we going to look, what are the pull and push factors that we're going to look forward to before selling our livestock? The quality is unquestionable. That is my view on the subject matter. So maybe we should push more to the inclusion of the farmer, or to ensure that at least as many as possible middlemen and so said cooperatives are already cut, so that at least the government can be the immediate negotiator and buyer from the farmer, so that at least we can hope for some income. Because with that income, then we can also increase the scale at which we are doing. We can be able to drill our own boreholes and plant more food to sustain our livestock when we have to sell again, and we don't need to depend on the government.
Mm.
So we really need the government to really look for our best interest. Let's remove as many middlemen as possible. Then the farmer, only then will they be able to feel the full benefits. Otherwise, it will be the same as what they are always doing. We sell here to Karoo. Karoo takes to South Africa, or maybe grows it for 2 months in Namibia, takes it to South Africa. We sell to a very low price. We are unable to bring any change, any real lasting change to our lives. Even the farmers' hand help are paid little, because the farmer themselves cannot make money. So once we remove the middlemen, when the government really strengthens itself and becomes bold enough to negotiate on our behalf for our needs, perhaps what can the government should also look at in these negotiations is not only in terms of monetary foreign exchange,
mm-hmm.
but maybe tools and technologies that we can implement within our market.
Yeah.
Instead of negotiating for a certain amount of money, we can negotiate that China, you advance in technology.
Mm.
So as far as we are negotiating for this level degree of technology that we can use to boost our farm, maybe factory machine, maybe harvesting machine, maybe monitoring tools. You can take how many amounts of kilos of mutton and then give us this amount. By so doing, you not only give us money that will perish, but also lift up the standard of our farming. It will revolutionize the way we produce our meat, the way we raise our livestock, the way we monitor growth, the way we detect viruses and diseases. It will officiate so many things. And that means it will graduate us from a point of negotiators and beggars to a point where we're independent farmers who have a voice and a purpose, and where our meat cannot only be now for the Chinese market, but it will be something that will be in high demand globally.
Mm.
Yeah.
Speaking on globally, which other markets do you think which Namibia needs to penetrate, or looks like easier, maybe not so easier, but perhaps at the edge of just whereby we can actually penetrate, considering that the U.S. just imposed tariffs on all countries and Namibia has been slapped with a 21% tariff. Which other markets would you say farmers could also be able to penetrate?
There are many markets, particularly the European market, in my view, have been under-tapped.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the eastern markets, where you have the Middle East, they have a lot of challenges within the standards and regulations may be a bit complex and may take us time to penetrate. But the European markets are in dire need of our meat, because most of their meats, as I said earlier, they are either grown within confinement, the animals are not in free range, or they are laboratory tempered, or they are the ones that are produced through cloning, and so forth. So then the quality is already compromised, and there are major researchers that are questioning the quality of that meat already. So those markets are open for us. We just need a strong voice. We just need a clear set plan that can really develop and build us up. So those markets are open. Also, there are other markets within Africa that are undertaken concerning the quality of meat. I think maybe it's a divine blessing, but there's something about our meat, especially if you travel, that you can witness. Even our meat is being consumed in our own South African market.
Yeah.
So those markets are already open for us. My major challenge that I would really like to emphasize
mm-hmm.
is the middlemen. Because the farmers don't really sense where the money is coming from, because they are constantly being paid peanuts. But once the set of negotiation is already set for them, then whatever market they choose to sell, because there's high demand, the pool is so much. But the guys that are buying from us, they control those markets. They determine whom they are going to sell and for how much they are going to resell what they are buying from us. And so we are used to the same amount. To the farmer, even this news might not be something big, because even after they buy, without proper negotiations, we're still at square one. So that is why I'm emphasizing for that. The demand is there, but we need a strong voice. We need competency within the negotiation process. We need also value and dignity to be restored. Somehow, I feel we are a little bit also within the pre-apartheid era. We are still begging to sell the quality things we are producing. So we really need a strong voice that can see our interest, they can look for us, focus the next 10 years. This rain that we got might not be there for the next how many years.
Yeah.
So we need a force that can really redirect that, a voice. And with our new Minister of Agriculture, that is really what I'm dreaming about.
Mm.
New technologies, mm-hmm. new initiatives. Many young people are frustrated with being in the capital city. We want to go back to tilling as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if I grow vegetables, I still have to penetrate these markets that are already dominated by monopolies. I still have to beg to sell my potato. And so there are too many restrictions for the ordinary farmer to try. Remove the restrictions, remove the middlemen. They negotiate some of the laws that we're even trading under.
Yeah.
They are all the ancient. They are not serving at any purpose. They are serving monopolies. They are serving monopolies, 5 farms, 10 farms. They can qualify to some of those things. Bring down the breakage to the ordinary farmer. Bring down the needs to the ordinary farmer. Then we can revolutionize the economy of Namibia from that step.
Mm. Thank you so much, Ishmael Wandara, for giving out those pointers. And as a farmer yourself, we sure hope that this is an opportunity for growing and actually expanding on your farming advances.
No, thank you very much. We are looking forward. We will stay open to every news that comes out, and we are really ready to sell our quality meat to the world. We are really ready to bring a change to what people are eating and give them something real, something genuine, something that is heartfelt. Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. And there you had it from Ishmael Wandara, a farmer himself. Now this speaks a lot to farmers, those who are growing, those who are heading sheep and goats, just to step up and actually come up to the table if you haven't already. If you feel like your farming skills also needs to upgrade, so that you never know, you could be part of those that are actually benefiting from this negotiation or from what was just signed off yesterday. Now with that being said, we take a trip to the marketplace. You're tuned into On the Radar News Bulletin, and we will be back so soon.
Mukungu lekwa tuko maikuto amina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Uvele kisema ep ato kasi nchavu kamso. Zakare liferire. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a inda ep. Mikutwe kulibusie mba santo yenye etuna. Mikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamu vone, imba encha, miencha farizwe, ikopnye mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilimu, kukopanya naha, nikuhasa nyali njula mlimu. Zengi, zefu mani hamasfera sesfa ep ya imba, zetatama, elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, catholic, smani kakarunga, Africans, mizengu zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, 0812358063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalite.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Welcome back. In other news, Transport and Works Minister Biko Nekundi has cancelled the $2.5 billion locomotive tender meant for Transnamib after it merged that the deal was awarded through direct procurement to a single manufacturer. Now, Nekundi announced the cancellation this yesterday afternoon in the National Assembly, stating that such procurement exposes Namibia to geopolitical risk. He has also directed both the Central Procurement Board of Namibia and Transnamib to hold the process, emphasizing the need for transparent and competitive binding practices. We reach out to social activist Simon Amunime on this. Good afternoon, Simon Amunime, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
No, good afternoon. Greetings to the listeners.
Mm.
Yeah.
The Minister of Transport and Works, Veiko Nekundi, has just cancelled the $2.5 billion locomotive tender meant for Transnamib. This is after it merged that the deal was awarded through direct procurement to a single manufacturer. Now, Simon, how significant is this decision by the government when it comes to public trust and public governance?
I think it serves as an indication that the current administration is very serious when it comes to accountability and the spending of the resources of this country. Yeah, so seeing the minister, Honorable Veiko Nekundi, coming to halt the process is an indication that the government is serious about curbing corruption, about curbing nepotism, and also just generally that the government should be accountable to its citizens that is given the mandate to administer and distribute resources on their behalf. So it's actually really a bold step by the minister to intervene in making sure that due process should be followed and the process should be competitive, that there is no one that get handpicked or people should not use the loophole in terms of the act that is there to handpick a certain individual or so forth. And I think what we can do is to commend the minister, and we are hoping that it's going to be done and applied by all cabinet members as well as just administrative body that are established by the state to make sure that really there's transparency and there's accountability as far as the government spending and programming is concerned.
Now, do you think there are more tenders like this out there that need the government to intervene and reverse them?
Just repeat the question again.
Do you think there are more tenders like this out there that need the government to intervene and reverse them?
Now, before Simon actually gets to answer that, we step away for a short scheduled commercial break and we're back to continue right after.
Taking flight has never been easier. Paratus is introducing SkyFi internet packages with speeds that will have you reaching for your seatbelts. Starting from $500, excluding VAT, per month, with speeds reaching up to 10 megabits per second. There's even a prepaid option where you can top up your SkyFi internet for just $15 per gigabyte. No contracts, no fuss. Visit your nearest Paratus branch to find out more. Or go to paratus.africa/Namibia to sign up online. Always prepare,
Paratus. Let's now resume.
Definitely, the government is a very big and complex bureaucratic system. You have a lot of parastatals, you have a lot of agencies, you have a lot of government and a lot of departments. So no single person can single-handedly deal with some of those issues that may arise or that may be seen emerging from some of those entities. And it might be many other cases that might exist. That's why it's very important to whoever is deployed and the statutory bodies that are put in place to make sure that an issue of such nature doesn't happen. Of course, they might have been happening in the past. There might be current happening. Same situation might still exist. But with the minister coming forth like this as a leader, as the head of that particular instrumental and very important Minister of Works and Transport that encompasses a lot of other prestatals and agencies under it, such as Road Authority, Road Administration Fund, and so many that falls under it. And they have a lot of projects that goes because they repair and do maintenance on behalf of government as well as other ministries. The issues might exist in that particular fashion. All I will say is that the other administrators, be that they are CEOs, be that they are procurement officers, head, must follow suit in the gospel of the minister to make sure that such instances are not allowed. And if they are happening, they should be halted and stopped as soon as possible.
Simon, yes. This tender was flagged by a local activist. Can you emphasize the importance of activism when it comes to public resource management?
Yes. I think what is important in terms of that perspective is that there is nothing that ever survives or succeeds in isolation. We must always value the magnanimity of collaboration and complementary. So every entity must always serve its purpose. The government of the day should be held accountable. That's why it's important in every context, be it politically, economically, or socially, there must always be other actors in the arena that are, of course, going there to hold the government accountable. And activism is one of the actors that involved. They must be able to see, to assess, and to hold the government of the day accountable in terms of its implementation, in terms of its spending, in terms of its procurement. They should play that role. Otherwise, if one leg is missing, then the body can't move. So it's very important that we have activists, we have opposition party, we have a civil society that is very organized, that is very informed, and that is very involved in terms of making sure that they are concerned and they are monitoring these people. Because when you say that the government is a very complex and big machinery, it's very difficult for it to be controlled, either by the president or by the line ministers. Mm-hmm. And when you deal with technocrats, which are administrators, people that are ED, people that are directors, people that are given the responsibility to execute some of these tasks, they are not only from the ruling party. Some are business people, some are church people, some. Mm-hmm. So you have no control over them. That's why the aspect of civil society, which incorporates them, activism, is very important to make sure that we have whistleblower, we have people that are able to expose and bring this thing in the eyes of the public. Of course, there are entities such as the Anti-Corruption Commission, but a statutory body that needs things to be reported. But these things happen in our offices as employees, as stakeholders, and so forth. So there's always a need to have activism, to have social justice people, to have the civil society that are really involved and that are concerned, so they can bring this thing to the fore, so they can be taken up by the relevant legislature and the authorities that are put in place to handle matters as such.
Mm. Now, yeah. When it comes to bringing such things to light, is it only those who are in activism who can do so, or perhaps every individual who sees things like this of corruption taking place, they have a part to play? What do you have to say in that?
Yeah, not necessarily only activism. Each and every single Namibian has the right to expose and report things that they may seem to be very shady, unconstitutional and illegal. A lot of corruption is happening, but it's not known because people are quiet on it. If people, you are working in a clinic and people are stealing toilet papers, the minister won't know. The president won't know. But you carry a responsibility as a staff member and employee in that particular clinic to say that we've procured 500 toilet papers, but the other 50 are taken home by employees, because that's using your office for self-gratification. So it will never be known if it's not reported. That's why as citizens, we ought to be patriotic and report any shady or unconstitutional or illegal activities that we see within our environment. Because corruption happens at different, it's not only in terms of billions that we are speaking now at the Ministry of Work. It happens even in the smallest form. Someone is using the company government car to go and collect their own stock. We should be able to report it, that this guy is my neighbor. He worked for this specific ministry, but he go and collect his school drink and his shop for personal shop using government fuel and government vehicle.
Yeah.
So it's our responsibility as a community to be informed.
A message to those who expose corruption or expose things that are happening in the society which don't look normal. They've often go uncompensated, and they often are also ridiculed as well. A message to them, please.
Government is by the people. It's of course a system by the people. So it's not some existing entity there in isolation. These are institutions, systems, and processes that are managed, governed, and administered by individuals, which are human beings. So every human being has then a role to play in this system. Some have a role to play in terms of administering, some are executing, some are developing policy. Some is to hold the very same system accountable. And we just have to commend and salute the men and women that are bold and courageous always to stand up and fight for the truth and expose some of these shady deeds when it comes to exposing, to fighting in terms of social justice. So in terms of conversation, it's a bit difficult, but it should be a patriotic duty of each and every Namibian. Perhaps what should be recommended to government is just to say that they should really speed up and fast track what they call the whistleblower act, so such people can be protected. Because many a times you report this thing, you see the person get victimized, they got people start fighting them. Sometimes you even lose your job, they come after your family and so forth. They should be protected by the law through that whistleblower act to make sure that people such as those that are doing this very patriotic, important duty of exposing corruption, of speaking against corruption, of reporting corruption, are protected and they are not victimized, and their life is made difficult even for survival in terms of getting job and so forth. But they are doing a very, very, very patriotic duty for our government, for money, resources that is intended for the public to be spent for the right purpose.
Absolutely. Simon Amunime, thank you so much for always sharing your insights with us right here on the Reader News Bulletin.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay. You're tuned into On The Radar News Bulletin, your midday news bulletin right here on Eagle FM. We also invite you to partake in the news bulletin. Our studio number is 083-288-401. Come and share your opinions and contributions right here. For now, we pause here, take a trip to the marketplace, but shortly enough, we'll be back and bring you yet more news.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. The launch of the 2025 MTC Netball Premier League season took place today. And speaking at the event is Acting Vice President for Africa Netball, Rebecca Gwagasas.
What a truly momentous occasion this is, the launch of the 2025 MTC Netball Premiership season. Standing here today, my heart swells with pride as I witness this incredible milestone in Namibian netball's journey. I remember vividly the countless meetings, the persistent phone calls, the unwavering belief we held as we embarked on the journey of securing a title sponsor for our beloved sport. It wasn't always easy. There were doors that seemed firmly shut, moments of doubt that crept in, but the passion for netball, the burning desire to see our athletes reach their full potential, fueled our determination. We knew that with the right support, Namibian netball could soar to a new height. And today, seeing MTC's name proudly associated with this premiership for the past season, and today being the fifth season, it is a testament to that perseverance and a dream realized. I also want to say a special word of appreciation to our government through the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture for providing guidance and making transport available to our community-based teams, making it possible for everyone to participate. To the Namibian Sports Commission, thank you for always being in our corner. We really appreciate your support. A special thanks goes also to New Era Media for coming on board this year. Because of your involvement, every game will now be recorded, ensuring that the history of Namibian netball is captured, preserved, and amplified for generations to come. Remember when we were playing netball, you will be asked today, were you a player? I was a player, a national player for that matter, but there was no history, it was not captured. Things have evolved, so that is why we are really appreciative of gestures such as this from New Era, that today, tomorrow, after 10 years, you can go back to archives and record, and then you can even be able to capture the number of games you played for a specific team and so on. So we really appreciate Mr. Maletsky for that gesture. The impact of this sponsorship has been nothing short of transformative. We have witnessed tangible surge in the competitiveness of our league. Teams are better equipped, players are motivated, and every match is a thrilling spectacle of skills and determination. This heightened competition is a bedrock upon which national success is built. And indeed, look at how our national team is flourishing. The consistent exposure to high-level competition week after week has honed their skills, sharpened their strategic thinking, and instilled a winning mentality. We are no longer just participants. on the international stage, we are now contenders. This progress is further evidenced by the ever-expanding pool of talent we now have to draw for our national teams. The Premiership has become a fertile ground, nurturing and showcasing the immense potential that exists across our nation. Coaches have a wider selection of gifted athletes, each bringing unique strengths and adding depth to our national squad. Ladies and gentlemen, across all 14 regions, netball has grown. The competition is stronger than ever, but let us not stop here. I urge clubs to join formal structures in their regions. Let us ensure that talented players in the villages and towns don't get stuck in what we call bush tournaments, but rise to represent their regions and the country. Netball is not just a game. It is an entry point to livelihoods, careers, and dignity. Through the MTC NLPL, many players have secured permanent jobs. With the Namibian Correctional Services, NDF, NAMPO, Navy, and in the parastatals and private sectors, this is how netball is directly contributing to the fight against high unemployment. It is creating opportunities, especially for the youth, who through this platform are gaining visibility, discipline, and access to stable income. Omake.
Now we pause here and take a trip to the marketplace, but when we return, we'll be back with this particular news item. Stay with us.
Unkundana ombwanawa kani hauto. Owa pumbwa oshimaliwa mendelelo. Ndele ouna oshiendiso. Ouna anilonga ya pumbwa okufutwa. Ashike mboka ina onjo doe otaende kashona. Ngele onkaramwenyo tainyengana. Otokesh oteinengi ompu. Tu etela ohauto oye. Eto pewa epresendo amirongo nenantano. Dongushu yoshiendiso shoe. Mure ashike unintetilo mirongo nenantano. Ino pumbwa oka payslip nenge o statement ayombanga. O hauto yoye ashike. Mona omula oshimaliwa ethimbo weshipumbwa. Tudengera nena ko nora hamano yume ne nora nora hamano heari hamano. Ano ko nora hamano yume ne nora nora hamano heari hamano. Oshipulera ko otokesh.
And now we resume.
The results speak for themselves. Our climb up to the world rankings is not just a number. It's a reflection of the hard work, dedication, and the collective belief in Namibian netball. It's a testament to the power of investing in our athletes and providing them with the platform to shine. Though I stand before you today in my capacity, I'm emphasizing in my capacity as acting president of African netball and as a former player and president of Netball Namibia, my commitment to the growth and success of Namibian netball remains unwavering. Netball holds a special place in my heart, and I pledge my continued support in any way I can. I will be your champion. I will be your champion. I will be your advocate and your biggest cheerleader on the continent and global stage. To MTC, your belief in our vision has been instrumental, and we extend our deepest gratitude for your invaluable partnership. To the board of Netball Namibia, Madam Acting President, listen to the voices that are guiding you. Remain open, focused, and people-driven. I wish you well in managing this new season. To the dedicated coaches, players, the passionate administrators, technical officials, and most importantly, to the incredible teams and players who will grace these courts, I wish you a season filled with a high level of playing matches, personal growth, and resounding success. Personal growth, play with smart heart and competitive, and also have that fair play aspect. Personal growth, we have a testimony of our players playing abroad and in South Africa. You too can make it, why not? May this premiership be a launchpad for even greater achievements, both individually and collectively. Go out there, play with heart, and make yourself, your teams, and families proud.
Juanita Witbeen, Netball Namibia Acting President, was one among the people who attended NetBank, the 2025 MTC NetBank Premier League season. And she had this to say.
This year, we have looked at a different outline in terms of what we want to showcase on and off court, whereby we, I stand both honored and privileged to stand before you today to launch the 2025 season of the MTC Namibia Netball Premier League. This season, we come together not only celebrating sport, but to stand united for the cause of the that is close to our heart and centered to the well-being of our society. The theme for the year will be against gender-based violence. We stand clear that the message says powerful, and it is significant on our designs that we have incorporated in our dresses. This season we will wear a purple ribbon that symbolizes peace, courage, survival, and honor. The color represents the commitment of ending the violence, and every time an our athlete steps on court, the ribbon will share as a significant symbol that will stand as we unite together. Every week in Namibia, we hear stories of a woman hurt, a child scarred, and another life shattered. These are not matters, or they are just statistics. These are our sisters, our mothers, our daughters, and our teammates. They individually who stand living their lives free from fear, yet to represent ourselves on court. Sports has always been a powerful tool for teaching discipline, respect, and strength, not only on court, but also off court. And it is with those values in mind that we raise our voice today. We demand an end to violence for our country. We stand together as a nation. Let us unite as one for the Namibian child and woman. As we embark on this season, let us not only cheer for victory in the game, but also for the victory of achieving that the nation has achieved victory over violence, victory over peace, and victory over every woman and girl child in Namibia. Together we build a safer, stronger, and more justified Namibia. I thank you.
MTC Chief Brands Communication Marketing and Sustainability Officer Tim Ekanju announced that MTC and Netball Namibia will work towards a three-year professionalization plan with intention to implement a minimum wage across the board to serve as a basic allowance or salary for every participating netball player starting next season.
We are now doing quite a few sports codes, Mr. Muya. We're covering football. We're now into horse racing, into rugby, into boxing, netball, and then, of course, volleyball as well. So we actively participating in about six national sports codes on a weekly basis, keeping this team very, very busy. Let me take this opportunity to congratulate you, Madam Rebecca Kwakoses, on your appointment as acting president for Netball Africa. I want to remind you that when we started the MTC Netball Premier League 5 years ago, we made you its first president. Now you are the acting president of the whole of Africa. We always keep our promises. When we say, with the MTC brand, you will start in Namibia at the bottom, and now you are here. So this is a brand of many possibilities. And we would like to extend this to all the codes that are connected to our brand. I also want to congratulate Netball Namibia for hosting a very successful Africa Netball Cup competition, which took place at the MTC Dome in Swakopmund last December. This competition was sponsored by DebMarine and the Directorate of Sports in the Ministry. And we would like to show them sincere appreciation for making this possible. for Namibia to host such a magnificent event. So often when government pours in money, we say, they're supposed to do it anyway, and we don't say thank you. But we'd like to thank government and DEPAR in a very, very big way. We are also, Mr. Njavera and Mr. Muya, appreciative of the budget that was recently announced. For many, many years, we've always said, the country has a lot of competing priorities, and therefore sports must take the back seat. I am now reliably informed that an allocation of 1.2 billion was made for sports, of which shows a 46% increase. What is even more encouraging is that 65% of that total amount goes towards sports development, which is very, very encouraging. We would like to thank Her Excellency President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, who said that this thing of sports must take the back seat must come to an end. Would like to see our sportsmen and women, the youth, meaningfully participate in this economy called sports, arts and culture. So please convey our sincere appreciation to government for making such a big allocation towards sports. Another notable achievement was the selection of two of our netball players. I am not sure whether they are here. Mwale Mule Namashwe and Cornelia Mupenda, who were both selected as international players in the Singapore Netball Super League, representing Namibia netball on a global stage. Congrats. The Debmarine Desert Jewels, which is our national team, in case somebody wonders what I'm talking about, is now ranked 19th in the world from position 35, 5 years. And as we are very optimistic, well on their way to qualify for the Commonwealth Games in 2025, and hopefully the World Cup qualifications in 2026. Once again, thank you very much to Debmarine and our government for taking good care of our national team. Now, I'm highlighting these achievements because this is exactly what we had in mind, exactly what we envisioned when we birthed the MTC Netball Premier League, which was to make sure, number one, that we have a strong competitive league and a strong national team that will go on and conquer the world. We are pleased that we are well on our way to achieving these objectives, and all thanks to Netball Namibia and its leadership, and of course all the stakeholders involved. You would recall that when we started this Premier League, we made a commitment that we want this to become the very first fully professional league in Namibia. We have demonstrated this by our investment over the last 5 years. We started with 1.4 million in 2021, 1.9 million in 2022 and 2023, 2.5 million in 2024, and now 2.9 million, representing an increase of 110% in the last 5 years. I'm sure the colleagues of the volleyball are looking at me and saying, is that going to apply to us as well? MTC and Netball Namibia will work towards a three-year professionalization plan, which must be implemented immediately. It is our intention, and I underscore the word intention, Madam President, to implement a minimum wage across the board, which will serve as a basic allowance or salary, whatever you want to call it, for every participating netball player starting next year. We are extremely excited about the 2025 Premiership season and wish to welcome Afrocat, UNAM, Cookatops, and Extreme to this very, very competitive league. The fans have been nothing but supportive and phenomenal at every Premiership match, and we want to encourage them to come out and show even more support this year. Mr. Muya, over the last 30 years of our existence, we have invested almost half a billion only in sports development as we look back and celebrate 30 years of MTC. So I just thought I should share that with you as well, even though it's not about the numbers. Let the 2025 MTC Netball Premier League begin. May we pass every ball with class, spring on the wing, snatch and catch, score and want more. May we be a sport on the court, defend to the end, be adept, intercept, find space, play with grace, leap high, stand tall, but most of all, play just because we love netball. Thank you.
And now we pause here for a commercial break, but we'll be back soon with more news.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Oulio mnangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma akuro ya kupitira mohorike radio station aweyo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116.
Kids, no running. They grow up so fast.
Come here, guys. Who wants to watch the favorite show on GoTV?
Your family's favorite moments are made better with GoTV's shows. We've got loads of local, international and kids channels and all the football you need from the comfort of your home.
You can also watch your favorite shows wherever you are with GoTV Stream. Stick with GoTV and let's go together. GoTV. Love it.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and now we take you to trading economics on what's happening today. On agricultural commodities, the top commodity losers arise at negative 2.13% and palm oil at minus 0.76%. Gains are led by corn at 0.53%. On metal commodity updates, on metal commodities, the top commodity gainers are platinum at 1.03% and silver at 0.57% and gold at 0.27%. The biggest losers are steel rebar at minus 0.62%. On energy commodity, the top commodity gainers are natural gas at 1.56%, crude oil WTI at 1.25% and Brent crude oil at 1.13%. European natural gas futures jumped over 9% to 35.7 megawatts per hour this week as relaxed gas storage rules helped ease some supply concerns for the coming winter. Lawmakers in Europe voted to lower the gas storage target to 83% by November 1st from the current 90%, a move seen as most realistic given depleted inventories after a cold winter. Now, this shift has boosted sentiment, suggesting storage facilities might now be easier to refill. Still, the broader market remains on edge due to trade tensions and uncertainty demand, while hopes for partial trade deals are providing some relief, volatility persist. UGAS stocks remain relatively low, just 41.84% full, raising questions about Europe's ability to prepare for next winter without heavy Russian imports. The EU's goal of phasing out Russian gas by 2027 urged agency to secure alternative sources such as US LNG. However, global competition, especially from Asia during heat waves, continues to pose upside risk to prices. Switzerland's consumer confidence index stood at minus 42 in April 2025, the lowest in 14 months. Falling 4 points from the same month last year and coming in below market expectations of minus 34. The sharpest decline was seen in the expected economic development sub-index, which plunged to minus 66.5 from minus 21.2 in April 24, reflecting growing pessimism about the country's economic outlook. Silver prices steadied around $32.50 per ounce on Friday, following a volatile week as investors adopted a cautious stance ahead of high stakes U.S. and China trade negotiations scheduled for this weekend in Switzerland. The upcoming talks will see Chinese Vice Premier He Ling meet U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent as both sides seek to ease escalating tariff tensions. The market is closely watching for any signals of escalation that could impact the broader commodity landscape. Meanwhile, U.S. President Donald Trump announced a preliminary trade deal with the U.K., the first since the imposition of sweeping tariff last month. Elsewhere, U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell reinforced a cautious monetary policy stance, warning of mounting risk to inflation and employment, while dismissing calls for a primitive rate cut to offset the economic fallout from tariffs. And that's what we had for you regarding trading economics. And now we pause here to take a trip to the marketplace. And when we do return, we'll be bringing you news beyond the borders. To stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Mukungule kwa tuko maikuto amina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Uvele kisema app ato lokasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferire, mise kunane zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopo nye mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali nzwila mlimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba, ize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, Simane Kakarunga, Africans, nizengu zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si eke zwefa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalite.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders. We start off regionally, then we move over to continental news, thereafter international news. Now in South Africa, Hawks breaks down the fourth quarter statistics on crime reports.
The national head of the Hawks and his team reflected on their milestones. They focused on several high-profile cases, which include various organized crime, corruption, kidnappings, and even police killings. And many arrests were made.
607 natural persons and 49 juristic persons were secured before the various courts in the country. Of these arrests, 450, which is 74%, are South Africans, whereas 157, which is 26%, are foreign nationals. Of the 656 suspects, the Serious Organized Crime Investigation secured 364. The Serious Commercial Crime Investigation secured 220, while the Serious Corruption Investigation secured 72 suspects before court.
During the same period, the Hawks secured 239 convictions on various prosecutions and 266 criminals were sentenced. The Hawks also arrested 39 police officers for various crimes across the country, and 6 have been convicted. But unfortunately, 22 police officers were killed in the same period.
Lieutenant Colonel Pretorius, a commissioned officer of the South African Police Service, was driving an official vehicle when he was cold-bloodedly killed in an execution style in Ermelo. The vehicle was riddled with bullet holes. After the shooting, the assailant fled the scene. A multidisciplinary team comprising of the Hawks from Secunda and Nelspruit Serious Organized Crime Investigation, Secunda Crime Intelligence, Ermelo Detectives, and Gert Sibande District Detectives, as well as private security and tracking companies, was assembled. The team's efforts led to the apprehension of 5 suspects in less than 12 hours.
General Libia also confirmed that the treason investigations are ongoing against AfriForum and its alliance partners after the group visited America, which led to diplomatic tensions for South Africa. Some state capture cases are also receiving ongoing attention. The Hawks also shared successes on cash-in-transit operations.
50 incidents of cash-in-transit robberies were received by the directorate. A total number of 28 suspects, excluding 10 who died during the exchange of gunfire with the police, were arrested. It is comforting that no one was released on bail in this regard.
The outgoing head of the Hawks will be retiring end of this month. He served as the leader of the Hawks for 7 years after he was appointed in 2018. Libia, who is also an advocate, bows out after 4 decades of fighting crime in South Africa. A legacy report will be tabled later this month on his career, where he will also be sharing his highs and lows with the media. Patricia Fasahi, SABC News in Pretoria.
Meanwhile, concerns about government officials conducting illegal business with the state in South Africa.
The Gauteng Ethics and Advisory Council yesterday handed over its second biannual State of Ethics report to the provincial government. Now, this report highlights key interventions to promote transparency and accountability across Gauteng province. But it also reveals that more than 150 government officials are doing business with the state illegally. It's a criminal offense, with the Provincial Education Department leading in the awarding of such contracts. Let's talk about it with Professor Alex van den Heever from the Wits School of Governance. Alex, good morning. Thanks for your time. How's it possible that over 150 government officials, 124 just from the Education Department alone, are able to do business with the state in direct violation of the law? We should be seeing prosecutions.
We should be, but we've got lots of violations of the Public Finance Management Act, which are also criminalized. we have systematic recurrence of irregular expenditure, and yet the accounting officers are never held to account. So what I would say is that you have two types of corruption that you will see in government, what I call sort of top down and bottom up. And top down is where effectively the corruption is driven by the people at the top of the system, whereas the bottom up is bad actors and misconduct of people generally without permission of the top structure of the organization. But when you start to see this level of misconduct, it suggests that it is driven from above. And that is the worrying issue.
So, you know, there's precedent for this, right? Because the forensic audits into the Gauteng Department of Social Development uncovered 500 million rand in irregular spending and recommended disciplinary action and criminal referrals. We are now 5 years later from that report. Almost nothing has been done. Is this a failure of leadership, accountability, or deliberate political shielding?
The last. It is a form of top-down corruption. It can't be this prevalent and this and so sustained over time without it actually being condoned and in many cases driven from the top. And so the occasional publication of reports that purport to show a degree of transparency and then nothing has happened creates the fake perception that somebody actually cares. The problem is that the people, argue that when you see top-down corruption, it is basically a form of capture of...
Now for a commercial break.
Go big this Easter with extra low prices at WB. Get a 1 kg Yum Yum Peanut Spread Tub for $59.99. 1.5 kg Real Good Mixed Chicken for $74.99 with Smart Buy. 1.8 litre Farmhouse Ice Cream for a sweet $39.99. 1 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $33.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 Sheet 1-Ply Toilet Rolls for $34.99. See all our exciting Easter specials at Furmanbrock.com. We care.
Now, continuation with her concerns about government officials conducting illegal business with state
resources, and it is where people are not actually interested in running those departments. They use them as their own sort of piggy banks. And this is the problem. So this is why you will not see anything happening, because essentially it is very easy if the people are at the top are involved, then basically they protect everybody who's part of their network of extraction. And just recently we see another case, an absolute blatant case of the VIP protection group for Paul Mashatile, blatantly on camera committing criminal offences, and yet the disciplinaries are turfed out. And that's an indication of just how things are operating. The people at the top are part of the problem, rather than the what you'd expect is occasional misconduct at the sort of lower levels of the organization. But people who are in charge or in control of their organizations and are interested in achieving the public interest, they will make sure that they are containing that as far as possible. What you see here is that there doesn't appear to be any action to quell this, which means that potentially the people at the top are implicated.
I want to go back to this concept of the people at the top, Alex. So how do we isolate that, and how do we hold those specific people accountable?
So theoretically, we've got many checks and balances, and we've got many people who can potentially investigate. But the problem is that there appears to be, many of them appear to have become toothless. So we should have, if these cases are handed over to the police, they should be properly investigated. Well, we've just seen what happened to the VIP Protection Service crowd. We've seen in the case of Babita Deokaran where the Hawks were basically walked away from the case. So the problem is that you do require bodies that are not implicated, not involved in this, to become part of rooting out the problem. But it means that your focus of attention is the people at the top. This is a problem that is driven from the top, which means the people at the top have to be the focus of investigations. They are not the focus of investigations. So very often they're the ones who will initiate, for instance, a sort of rather shallow forensic investigation, which just disappears into the ether, and then they can pretend, look, we tried. So essentially you have to have external authorities and bodies take them on, and they have to result in their removal and their proper prosecution.
Just very quickly to close, the Premier's now received this latest report, but as you've just pointed out, we've seen repeated patterns. Whistleblowers sidelined, forensic reports buried, implicated officials quietly reinstated. Do you think he has a real appetite to root out corruption in the Gauteng government?
No.
President Hakainde Hichilema of Zambia calls for integration of economies before the Africa Continental Free Trade Area.
The African Continental Free Trade Area, AFCFTA, is on the brink of transforming Africa into the world's largest trade bloc, connecting 1.4 billion people across 55 countries with a combined GDP of $3.4 trillion. Zambia has taken center stage by hosting the inaugural AFCFTA Digital Trade Forum, a platform to fast-track the dream of a united, borderless African market. Opening the forum in Lusaka, President Hakainde Hichilema called for the need to integrate African economies as the foundation for fully realizing the AFCFTA vision.
SADC, East African Community, West African Community, Sahel, North Africa, these must fall in line through issues such as common standards, regulations, laws that we need to address. We need you, the ministers, to checklist these rigidities clearly. And for the ministers to do that, their staff, the permanent secretaries, the directors in the ministries, must quickly provide this matrix of issues.
President Hichilema said embracing the digital economy is crucial for accelerating service delivery across member states.
How long are we going to talk about the value of the digital advancement? We commented about the changes in the geopolitics. Yes, we can complain about ARVs not being paid for by other taxpayers outside Africa. Yes, we can complain about development assistance shrinking. I actually think that this is a wake-up call to Africa, that we've been doing things wrongly for too many years, waiting for someone to do mundane things for us. We must do those things ourselves.
He renewed his call for non-stop border posts, advocating for real-time information sharing on cargo movement to eliminate delays at checkpoints. President Hichilema further urged the AFCFTA Secretariat to form a transactional team that would unlock intra-African trade potential.
Let's work as a team. Let's not focus much on competition. Let's focus on complementarity as a continental economy. There's a lot we can do. Nigeria is doing a lot. All of the countries are doing a lot. We want the revenue authorities on our continent to talk to each other, to understand the importance of being able to talk to each other technically.
He stressed that the continent's developmental agenda cannot thrive in an environment marred by conflict, calling for peace as a cornerstone of progress. Meanwhile, the president of Botswana, Duma Boko, echoed the call for greater connectivity, particularly in internet access, to empower citizens and drive the digital revolution.
We need to bring down barriers, boundaries, and barricades. We need to enable these people to trade with and amongst each other. We need to facilitate them in those endeavors. We therefore must build for them the requisite infrastructure, the digital infrastructure that is so desperately needed to take these amenities straight to them.
President Boko said this revolution must be guided by a focused timeline
If it is truly a revolution, it must be convulsive in many respects. Because if it is truly a revolution, it has to be compressed in time and concentrated in target. We have to set ourselves time frames. And we have to move from words spoken, examples enacted, into transformative action.
And AFCFTA Secretary General Wamkele Mene also took the stage, announcing that the Pan-African Payment System, set to launch soon, will allow countries to trade in local currencies.
The African Union, the AFCFTA Secretariat in particular, working with Afrexim Bank, have developed and are in the process of rolling out the Pan-African Payment and Settlement System, a digital-enabled platform that ensures that Africa's economic sovereignty is upheld by enabling trading in local currency. The rollout of the Pan-African Payment and Settlement System as a payments platform for the continent will reduce cost of doing business in Africa.
And in a recorded video address, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair encouraged African countries to strengthen collaboration amongst themselves to create bridges between innovators and entrepreneurs. Masauso Mukwayaya, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Kenya hosts 24th Chinese Bridge Chinese Proficiency Competition for college students.
You know, this competition is called Chinese Bridge. You know, what is a bridge? This is that we use the Chinese language as a bridge to bridge up the two countries together for us to understand each other better.
I am someone who's very interested in other people's culture, and getting to see that firsthand, it has been very, very insightful. And basically, as someone who doesn't understand Chinese, I can say that the whole experience was very, very immersive.
It is our firm belief that investing in youth is investing in the future. And today, we are not just awarding scholarships, we are supporting dreams. This ceremony is about academic excellence. Nonetheless, it is a celebration of our two people's shared aspirations.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome with a round of applause the winner of the 24th Chinese Bridge Competition for College Students, Kenya Division, Naomi.
I'm so excited, I'm so happy. I feel like the preparations and efforts that I've made for the past 1 month has been worth it. The song is about a female general. It shows the empowerment of women. So I chose that song to portray that whatever men can do, women can also do it.
Emirates reports a record profit of $5.2 billion.
Emirates' record profit was helped in part by a surge in demand for long-haul travel. An uptick in air cargo demand and lower fuel costs also drove the airline's revenue to hit $34.9 billion. The Dubai-based carrier served 53.7 million passengers out of its hub of Dubai International Airport in 2024, compared to 51.9 million passengers the year before. In comparison, Ethiopian Airlines Africa's biggest, earned $7 billion during the fiscal year 2023-2024, having carried 17 million passengers. The Emirates' results track with those for its base, Dubai International Airport. The airport had a record 92.3 million passengers go through its terminals in 2024. The real estate boom and the city's highest ever tourism numbers have made Dubai a destination as well as a layover.
Meanwhile, Bill Gates pledges to give away $200 billion by 2045.
I believe in this stuff.
Bill Gates pledged on Thursday to give away $200 billion via his charitable foundation by 2045, speeding up his plans to divest almost all of his fortune. The announcement follows moves by governments, including the Trump administration, to dramatically slash international aid budgets used to prevent deadly disease and famine.
The decision to do this is one that I've been thinking about for a few years and talking about with the foundation board. So it's actually not triggered by the fact we're here in this emergency situation.
The 69-year-old billionaire co-founder of Microsoft said he would close the foundation on December 31st, 2045, years earlier than previously planned. He said he believed the money would help eradicate diseases like polio and malaria, end preventable deaths among women and children, and reduce global poverty.
I think over the next 20 years, this amazing organization with amazing partnerships, I want to maximize what they can do.
He has also lashed out at Elon Musk, who oversees the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, which has overseen the cuts to USAID. In an interview with the Financial Times, Gates said, quote, "The picture of the world's richest man killing the world's poorest children is not a pretty one." Speaking to Reuters, Gates warned of a stark reversal to decades of progress in reducing mortality due to funding cuts.
It could be 4 years, 6 years, where we're having funding cuts from a number of countries, including the U.S., and the number of deaths will start going up for the first time. They went down from around 10 million to less than 5 million, and now it's going to be millions of more deaths because of the resources.
He has spoken to Trump several times in recent months, and twice since the president took office on January 20th, on the importance of continued investment in global health, he told Reuters. Gates made the announcement on the foundation's 25th anniversary. He set up the organization with his then-wife Melinda French Gates in 2000. They were later joined by billionaire investor Warren Buffett. Gates said that despite the foundation's deep pockets, progress would not be possible without government support.
If you zoom out, though, and look at the next 20 years and the fact that I think governments will come back to caring about children surviving and that we have a pipeline of innovation and that my fellow philanthropists, I think, will be giving more to these causes.
And now that has brought us to the conclusion of today's On The Radar News Bulletin. Do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dingi program up next with David Shambe and Benedict Simon. Also do stay tuned for our weekend shows, that is tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, to keep you well informed and engaged. Now from Indafa, happy Shushu, it is goodbye. I will see you again next time.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the EagleFM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the EagleFM app to tune into live EagleFM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. EagleFM, Namibia's number one talk radio station. Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.